Well, let's begin our service tonight with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do praise thee for thy loving kindness. We praise thee for the way that thou hast taken care of us. We praise thee, Father, that thou art a God that loves us and a God that guides us and directs us. We praise thee for the blessed Holy Spirit that indwells us who are saved. We're thankful, Father, for the way that he gives us understanding in the Word of God. And Lord, we're thankful for the way that thou hast provided for our every need. We thank thee, dear Father, for protecting us. And that we do pray that as we have opportunity to look into the word tonight, that thou wouldst really prepare our hearts to hear from thee. Lord, I do pray that thou wouldst help us to set aside things that may distract us. Help us, Lord, to give our undivided attention to the word, that Christ would be glorified in all things. We need thee in these things, Lord. We believe that prayer should be paramount in the life of a Christian. Help us, Lord, to develop our prayer lives during this time where thou hast given us more time. And we'll give thee the glory for all that will be done. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you spend a lot of time watching the news lately, more than usual, then I'd encourage you just to stop it. Stop watching so much of the news. There are better things that you can give your spare time to, especially the time the Lord has given you. There are much better things for you to do rather than to watch the news. But if you do watch the news, we'll say if you're able to watch it moderately, you can't help but see the difficult situations that people find themselves in. And if you're a sensitive person, you can't really get away from that feeling, that feeling of wishing that there was something that you could do to help, right? I mean, you look at the reports, you see the pictures, and in your heart, if you're sensitive, you think, how could I help? And if you are in a position to help in some way, if it's urgent enough to you, then you'll attempt to help. Maybe you'll donate money. Or maybe you'll donate some of your time or some of your influence or whatever to try to help to meet that need. Now, if you are totally consumed with just managing your own life, you're totally consumed with managing the daily affairs of your life, keeping up with your job requirements, if you are fortunate enough to still be working, or you're dealing with those situations at home that can be just so time consuming, just really working at keeping your home squared away, or you're just really working at maintaining or even increasing your comfort zones, then you might not be as sensitive to the needs of others. If you're a Christian, though, I mean, I'm talking about a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're commanded to be selfless. You are commanded to be sensitive to the direction of God in your life, as well as the needs of those that are around you. And there is one thing that all believers can do to please God. There is one thing that all believers can do to help others, regardless of your limitations. You don't need to have a lot of money. You don't even need to have a whole lot of time. You don't need to have a whole lot of gifts, a whole lot of influence to do this. And as we look at this, I would like you to begin by opening your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 22. The prophet Ezekiel chapter 22. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 22, God reveals what is a very urgent need from his perspective. And you see that in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30, it says this. This is God speaking. He says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." So the urgent need that God is talking about here is for a man or a woman who will stand in the gap between a very needy people and a very powerful God. It's as if God has hung out a sign in the window of heaven that says, "Wanted, someone, anyone." But the fact is, at this point in Israel's history, when Ezekiel is writing these things to them, God laments that there have been no applicants for the job. Israel here was in a very bad state. And again, these are God's people. The need of the hour was for a man who could take up for the people. You know, the book of Ezekiel brings scathing rebukes toward the rulers of Israel, toward the prophets, toward the priests of Israel, and really to all of the people. Ezekiel brings these scathing rebukes. And we're talking about millions of people, right? Millions of people from which God did this search. And folks, all of these people would be considered religious, right? I mean, they're all Jews. They're all the people of God. They were all God's people, but the nation had been grossly distracted by their sin. God was angry. God was ready to pour out his wrath, to pour out his indignation upon a people who were stubborn, a people who were rebellious, a people who knew the truth of the word of God. They knew the commands of God, yet chose to turn a deaf ear and to disobey. And as he was searching for one person who was not affected by the wickedness, but sadly, he was not able to find one among his people. You know, folks, when we look at the spiritual condition of our world today, we see that it's pretty bad. Beside the wickedness that is rampant, we also have the sad state of the church. I'm talking about the evangelical church. Now, certainly in our day, God is still looking for a man or for a woman who will take the job of being a regular intercessor for God. Notice God's search again in verse 30. He says, "And I sought for a man among them." Here God is searching himself. Notice it's not man looking for God, but God who's looking for a man. And really, it's a fact of human history that God is the one that is always seen pursuing men rather than men pursuing after God. Let me tell you something. Sinful man certainly is not seeking after God. But God here isn't looking for a sinful man. God isn't looking for a sinner here. He's looking for someone from his people who would heed the call on behalf of sinners and saints alike. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for someone who would first of all be able to stand before him. Now, what does that take? Well, it takes somebody that loves him, right? He's talking about somebody that would love him, somebody that regularly, habitually would be keeping his commandments, yet someone who was humble. Someone who would be repentant, like the person that James describes in James chapter 5 and verse 16, where he says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." God is looking for someone who is willing to work at this, to sacrifice time, to sacrifice energy and love and patience to accomplish his work. Now, I'm sure that he wants preachers, pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, other church leaders. He wants them to be intercessors. But his search is from all of his people. Every one of you who is listening to this that knows the Lord is your Savior, God is looking. He's looking for anybody that would be willing to be this kind of intercessor. Anyone who can come before him with a right heart. Anyone who can come before him with a right motive will be received by him to accomplish this task. And why is God looking for this man? Well, again, verse 30. He's looking for this man that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before him for the land. Now, here God uses two phrases really to refer to the same task. The first phrase is to make up the hedge. You know, in Job chapter 1 and verse 10, the devil was arguing with God concerning Job. And this is what the devil said. The devil said, "Hast thou not put a hedge about him?" And what the devil was complaining about is that he couldn't get to Job because God had placed this hedge of protection around him. Well, what's a hedge? Well, a hedge is a wall of protection. It is this force of protection that God has around his people. And as Christians, you know that we have a hedge about us. We have this wall about us. We are protected with the walls of faith in and obedience to the Word of God. But faithlessness and disobedience break down that wall. And what happens? It causes a breach in that wall. And the longer that breach stays open, the more catastrophic the results. And the greater the opportunity for the enemy to get in and to wreak havoc. I mean, all of us understand the breach in a wall and the breach really in the protection of a city. God is looking for men and women who would be able to close that breach by their own personal intercession. Keep in mind that the walls that may be around us as individual Christians or the walls that may be around us as a church are always broken down from the inside out. You know, we can stand strong from any outside influence because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We need not fear this world's persecution. Even during this time of crisis, we need not worry about the virus. We need not worry about the government. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. We're not going to be prevailed against by that. But folks, what happens is when we choose to walk contrary to the Word of God, the walls begin to crumble. And the need for intercessors becomes even more urgent. God is looking for those who will make up that hedge, but also who will stand in the gap. The picture here is a gap, of course, in a wall where floods of sin and corruption are pouring in. And God is looking for those who will be willing to suppress and restrain these floods. How? With their intercession. This is where we place our lives in the gap. This is where we understand this is our calling. As a soldier called to the front lines to fight for what is right, we are being called, right, to place our lives in the gap. This isn't a task for the weak or those who are easily weary, but this is a task for those who are effectual, who are fervent, who are diligent and vigilant, who will not be so quickly distracted from the task of prayer. You know what, folks? Through intercession, God works. And evil is suppressed. And then the gap is filled. It's tough work. It's very tough work. But it can be done. If we are being yielded and devoted to God, if you have a love for God, if you are humble, if you are one that is effectual and fervent and righteous, even you can do this. Any one of us can do this. Well, what is God's intent in finding these intercessors? Again, verse 30, he says that I should not destroy it, the land. He wants these people to intercede on behalf of the land. Why? So that God will not destroy it. Now, this intent reveals God's compassion and his love. He wants to show mercy to sinful people. The hedge was broken down. Through the gap, good is running out and evil is flooding in, plunging their nation further and further into darkness and into corruption. Unless the gap was closed, God would have to exact judgment upon his people. And what he yearned for What he desired for was that someone would stand in the gap. Why? So that judgment may be averted. So that he would not have to bring this judgment upon his people. God is looking for men and women who will cooperate with him and his purposes. He's looking for people in our church, in Christianity today, who will cooperate with him in his purposes of seeing souls saved and seeing Christians built up in the faith. That's what God wants us to do. Of course, ultimately, our main purpose as believers is to give glory to God. But I see scripturally that at least the two main ways that we do that is by seeing these purposes accomplished. People getting saved and Christians getting edified. And through intercessory prayer, God is giving his people this glorious opportunity of working with him to defeat evil and to see the triumph of righteousness. In this case, though, God laments at the end of verse 30 where he says, "But I found none." Among those who you would have expected to be an intercessor, verse 25, the prophets, verse 26, the priests, verse 27, the princes, God looked among them and found none. There wasn't a man among Israel that had these characteristics and this desire. What a sad state for the people of God. How sad it is that God could not find just one person. People who should be so willing and so available, yet because of their cold, divided, distracted hearts, they all turned their backs on this job. I'm sure, assuming somebody else would do it. Somebody else would certainly hear the call of God and do it themselves. You know, folks, the need is great today. Intercessors are needed, and they are still hard to find. We as believers readily acknowledge the importance of prayer, don't we? But sadly, relatively few are willing to pay the price of extreme intercession. May the Lord rouse us to the realization of the seriousness of our times. The hour is desperate. I'm talking spiritually. You may be doing well during this virus, or you may be feeling the pinch a little bit. But spiritually, the days are evil. And folks, the lost are still dying. And they are going to hell, and they really have a great disinterest in the things of God. And we know that Christians are struggling. Christians are faltering, and they are growing weary in their well-doing day by day. They are so distracted by this world. Can we continue to look at the seriousness of these things and sit prayerlessly by? Can we really do that with a good conscience? Oh, that God would raise up intercessors from our midst. Would he do that tonight? Maybe God has spoken to your heart. And he's put his finger on something he's been trying to deal with you about. Won't you yield to him? Won't you say, "Look, I don't feel I can do anything else, but I know I can intercede. I can be one that makes up the hedge. I can be one that stands in the gap." And then go before the Lord and say, "God, help me to do what I ought to do." May we all be intercessors. I hope that you take time tonight to pray to the Lord and say, "God, is it me? Do you want me to be that man?" Or better yet, say to God, "God, it is me. I will heed the call. I will be that intercessor." And by God's grace, may we see great things done through that.